Welcome everyone to another one of our webinars in the 1MSL series, the Aspiring MSL Leader. My name is Helen Kane and I am CEO of 1MSL. I'm really delighted to have so many of you with us for this webinar on a subject which I know has attracted great interest, and it's a big topic. And when Greg and I were thinking about what we could possibly cover in this webinar together with Kevin, I think we all agreed that this webinar should probably be the first in a series. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to my colleagues, Greg Danielewicz and Kevin Woodhams, who are going to introduce themselves. So Greg, would you like to introduce yourself to our colleagues on the line?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you very much, Helen. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, wherever you may be. So my name is Greg Danielewicz. I have really looking forward to today's webinar. So I've spent the last 28 years of my whole professional career in the healthcare and pharmaceutical industries. In a range of roles, actually. So mainly commercial, sales, marketing, L&D initially. And then I've done a lot of work since I moved into the L&D realm with both commercial and medical teams. So spent the last 15 years in L&D and the last kind of 10 years of that period, I guess, I've done a lot of work around leadership development, which is a real passion. So really looking forward to the webinar. Hopefully you'll all find something of interest that you can action moving forward. So looking forward to spending the next hour with you.
Thank you. And Kevin?
Morning, everyone. For those of you that don't know me yet, my name's Kevin. I'm the Learning and Development Lead for 1MSL. Similar history to Greg, I've been in L&D now for about 18 years, working on management and leadership development. So I'm looking forward to this morning a lot.
So the Aspiring MSL, or the Aspiring Medical Leader, really. So it's, as I said, it's a real pleasure to be here. And you know, this is a huge topic. So we're gonna try and split this into a series of webinars, and we're gonna try and introduce some of the key concepts, which we hope will make sense to you, and just give you some food for thought, really, in terms of how you might want to go about getting on your leadership development journey. So we're gonna start off with some kind of, you know, some fairly kind of generic kind of concepts, and then sort of drill down, look at some very practical stuff that you can really sort of focus on to get things moving. So this program of webinars is designed with, you know, people that are looking for their first leadership role. So they might be an MSL or a medic in some kind of medical role and looking to embark initially on that leadership journey. Equally, it could be people that are already in their first role and they're looking to just think about how they can kind of, you know, adapt their style or things that they might want to take out of the sessions, which will help for them to nuance how they want to adapt their leadership approach moving forward. So hopefully there's something in there for each of those two groups. So on that basis, and what I think it would be quite nice to do next is to just run a very short poll, and I think it would be helpful for us to understand, just, you know, in terms of your own career development, how much ownership on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being absolutely all over it, you know, where do you feel that you've been historically in terms of the level of ownership that you've taken over your own career development? Okay, so I think probably the majority, and I guess that's why you're on the webinar today, the majority of you have feel reasonably comfortable. You've taken a decent level of ownership and personal responsibility, I guess, in terms of your own career development today. And that's fantastic. And that's really important. You know, that's, for me, that's almost the most important message of this session, really, is that for those aspiring leaders in the, you know, amongst you, it's really important that you do understand no one's going to do this for you, and you have to be able to take control over your own of your own personal development. Okay.
So the big question.
Indeed,
I remember
yeah.
I Kevin and I were in a situation not so long ago, Greg, when there was a, I wouldn't quite say we had an argument, but we were with a senior leader in the industry. And the big conversation was, where were we referring to managers or where were we referring to leaders? And I think this is kind of something that causes a lot of people some confusion. So I'm really curious to know what your views are on this.
Yeah, thanks, Ellen. I think it's the key question, really, isn't it? And I think leadership and management, in my view, they are very different things. So I think, you know, leadership is really special, and I think we've probably all worked for leaders that we've really admired, and you can probably crystallize down all of the key competencies that they demonstrated that would make you see them as a really inspiring leader. So I think I've tried to just create this, crystallize this down into a few bullet points, and hopefully you'll kind of agree with my views. So I think, you know, great leaders are those people, those individuals that are able to create a really clear vision for the future. So what could be achieved? So in this simple sketch here, you know, it's a few people going up an escalator. So the leader's at the back here, encouraging and coaxing people to get onto their leadership journey to understand what that vision looks like. So it's creating a picture of what lies on the next floor, okay? And being able to not only kind of create and understand that vision, and that requires a little bit of horizon scanning, understanding what's possible, you know, and what's appropriate for the success of the company and the business and the team, but also being able to, you know, make people believe that it's achievable and encourage them that they have the capacity and the capability to get there. And then it's a case of supporting them in their development. So understanding what intuitively that they, you know, that the strengths that they have to be able to achieve that vision of success, and then supporting and developing them so that they that the areas where they need some help and support, the leader is finding ways and approaches to help facilitate that. So I think that's what leadership is, and it's not being at the forefront, it's not taking the glory, it's you know, it's not necessarily always setting the pace. It's maybe taking a bit of a backward step and understanding, okay, where are the people that aren't quite on board here? And what do I need to do as the leader to find ways to facilitate getting them on that elevator so that they're able to get to the next floor and understand what's required to facilitate them achieving that. Okay. So that's my understanding or my appreciation of what the role of the leader is.
Do you think it's easier or harder to be a leader than it is to be a manager, Greg?
So without doubt, it's more challenging to be a leader, Kevin. I think, you know, I think for me, management is more of a question of being able to master the processes of facilitating, you know, what's required. I think the leadership role is far more challenging, and it's, you know, it's a vocation, in my opinion. It requires the leader to be present at all times, to be able to take that umbrella view, understand, you know, what's required for each individual person in the team to not only motivate them, but to upskill them and to find a path for that person that's going to enable them to get to where it is you need them to get to. So far more challenging, in my opinion. And I think, you know, there are some people that comes to more instinctively. I think for the majority, it's something that, you know, we all have to work at really hard, really, you know, and really, really daily kind of commit to. So I feel that leadership is a challenging thing to take on. And, you know, and I think all of us aspire to taking on that kind of leadership role at some point. It feels natural in terms of career development, but it is a challenge. And I would want people to go into it with their eyes very clearly open.
Sorry, Kevin. I was just going to ask. So, can you be? So, because we've got some managers on the webinar.
Yeah.
So, can you be both a manager and a leader successfully, What do you think about that?
I think ideally, without doubt, yeah, I think most leadership roles require, you know, there's always going to be an element of managing the day-to-day as part and parcel of that. I think that there are very few leadership roles where that isn't the case. So I think it's important that people are able to embrace both components, but also understand the different skills and different attitudes maybe that are required to be able to fulfill both roles successfully. But certainly it is possible. But I think it's important to understand they are different components to often a, you know, the same role. But it's the lead, in my opinion, it's the leadership part that requires requires that real commitment, 24/7 almost, you know. But I think ideally, but you know, the best leaders are also able to do the management part of their role seamlessly without it even showing, I guess.
And I guess for me, the reason I ask the question, Greg, is often I hear people talking about the fact that they want to be managers because they've been in their role for a given amount of time. So they see it as a role that's linked to longevity and experience rather than actually a role that you kind of have to give your whole self to. That is hard work. And it's around wanting to be a leader rather than wanting a promotion from where you currently are.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that, Kev. And I think, you know, I feel that, you know, I've seen it a lot in my career that people who are functionally extremely good and extremely successful, they get moved into a, you know, a leadership role because they have been, you know, successful over a sustained period of time in their functional role. And then they're thrown into it without any real kind of support or development. And often hired into those roles without actually having been through any process that identifies their potential leadership, capacity or potential. Yeah. And I think that's sometimes where it can fall over. So I think, you know, a lot of organizations are guilty of that. And I think it's really important that when you get moved into a leadership role that, you know, it's understood from all parties that actually it requires quite a lot of support, a bit of time to take a step back, to do a bit of, you know, self-analysis in terms of where you're at, and have a really clear kind of development leadership, specifically leadership development plan in mind that will help support to get you where you need to get to from a leadership skills point of view.
Brilliant. Thanks.
So, Greg, I'm curious to know, why should we be having this webinar now? Why is this of relevance at this particular time?
Yeah, thanks, Ellen. I think here's an image for you. So it's I was trying to kind of demonstrate it's a bit of a crazy world that we're living in currently. I'm sure you would all agree with that. You know, there's an awful lot of change going on around us. It's a bit of a whirlwind, you know, in many ways. And even before the whole coronavirus kind of experience, you know, things were evolving and changing exponentially and much more rapidly than they ever have done before. And I think, you know, my observation is that globally there's a bit of a leadership vacuum, certainly politically. I'm based in the UK, and for colleagues on the call that are also in the UK, I'm sure you would accept that that's the case. But I think across the planet, really, that's probably also pretty similar. So, you know, I think our leaders, the quality of our leadership is deteriorated over time. It's a personal point of view, but I think that does, for me, that does offer an opportunity for us all to step up and think about, well, what can we do in our own small way to try and fill the void a little bit? And I think the onus is on us to take on personal responsibility and look at, well, okay, are we actually in a place to kind of leave a bit of a legacy in terms of, you know, our organization, our industry. So I think, you know, that's why I feel, you know, doing webinars like this around leadership, potential leadership skill development is really important right now. So I feel on that basis, the time is right. Also, as I said, you know, I think that the amount of leadership development in the pharma and healthcare industry has been average at best over many years. So, and it doesn't have to be like that. So I'm very committed to trying to raise the bar a little bit for both the success of organizations that are employing leaders, but also for the individuals that are going into those roles as well, and trying to open people's eyes a little bit, make people aware of what's required, and hopefully, you know, in our own way, that will make some small improvement in terms of the quality of the leadership standards that we're seeking to achieve.
And you know, just adding to what you've said, I'm not sure whether you have seen the results from our survey last year. So every year we conduct an annual survey, Greg, and last year we had great participation from medical MSL and medical manager stroke leaders, which is why I was asking the question earlier about the differences. And what's really, really interesting is the number of individuals, setting aside the fact that many individuals are in these roles in the absence of having upskilling to support them in roles, many individuals are in MSL leadership roles who've never been an MSL.
Right.
And I find that really fascinating, because it's, you know, it's a very unique role, and it brings with it great opportunities, but it brings with it great challenges. And I think in order for you to be an optimal leader of MSLs, it's really important that you have some understanding of what it's like to do the job.
No, I agree with that, without doubt, Helen. And I think, you know, what we'll touch on this later, but one of the key sort of skills of an effective leader is being able to coach. And I think, you know, I think the coaching handbook says that you don't necessarily need to be a functional expert. And that's true, I think. But I think the more understanding of the challenges that each person that you are coaching and leading has, the better understanding you have of what their role looks like, I think you can offer more specific guidance and advice. So I think, you know, putting someone into a leadership role, leading a group of people, you know, if you haven't done that role, I think there's a bit of a credibility issue there, to be honest. So I completely agree with you. I think having that, you know, shared experience of what are the challenges, how can you really shine in that type of role, the MSL role or medical affairs role, for example. You know, I think if a leader has a really good clear grasp of that, and what's important, you know, to that individual, so understanding what's going to make them successful, but also what's going to motivate them on a daily basis, what support development do they need? If you don't really understand that, it's harder to have a positive impact, I think.
I agree.
Okay, so let's move it on then, guys. So what I'd like to do is just kind of lay out what I feel, you know, the challenges are that embarking on a leadership career might offer you, or the way that they might challenge you. Just to make sure that we're all clear here, okay? You know, a leadership role, as I mentioned, you know, you need to be aware that you are going to be challenged on a daily basis. So, you know, physically, you know, it's hard work, potentially it's long hours. I think there'll be times when you're emotionally challenged. You know, you might have a group of 6 to 12 people that are reporting to you, all with their own individual challenges and the ways that they will want you to support them. And you're going to need to be able to adapt to that and to flex your style and to find a way forward for each person. So I think, you know, that can be emotionally quite draining. And intellectually and mentally, it's also a challenge. You know, there's always new things that you can be learning, different ways that you could approach the role. You're going to need to manage, you know, and lead both the people that report to you, but also those that lead and manage you and deliver results to the organization. So you're kind of in, you know, certainly in the early stages, which our aspiring leaders will be moving into, you know, you're gonna have pressure in both directions. So I think it's important to be aware and cognizant of that. It's also, I see it as a vocation as well. So, you know, I think the best leaders that I've ever observed or worked for, you know, they're the guys that are available when you need them. So I think having that relationship almost outside of the day job is important. And again, I think that requires a certain level of commitment from the leader to understand, you know, if you really want to inspire people, motivate people, differentiate yourself as the leader that they want to follow, then that needs or that requires a certain level of accessibility. So I think, you know, going into it with your eyes open from that point of view is important. And that being the case, I think, you know, it does require a certain level of planning and preparation. Back to our coaching comment from before, you know, planning and preparation is incredibly important so that you are tailoring and making bespoke each coaching conversation or each interaction that you have with each member of your team, even if you have got 10 or 12 people that are reporting to you. So having that adaptability, that openness, willingness to invest the time and effort to make each and every interaction as positive as possible for that person is incredibly important. If you're happy to take on all of that, then it's incredibly rewarding. You know, seeing an individual's not only capability but confidence grow and build over time is a wonderful thing. You know, and I think that's why people who get into leadership roles and who absolutely fly, that's probably a lot to do with it. That's why they continue on that journey, because they get such a huge amount back. So the investment is significant, without doubt, but you don't really get the buzz and the feeling that you do from being a successful leader that you do in any other role, in my opinion. Okay, and that makes it so enjoyable. You know, in terms of most career roles, having that fundamental and dramatic impact on people's confidence and their career development potentially is a fantastic thing. So there are significant pros and cons. I just wanted to make sure that all of us were fully aware of that before we embark on your leadership journeys.
So I guess so we've called this the aspiring leader, this webinar. So what practically, how do people move on this journey? How do they start the journey?
Yeah, so thanks, Helen. I think great call, Kev. And I think you know, clearly from what you've described in terms of what people have put in the chat, I think, you know, the reason that would motivate you to want to take on, you know, this challenge is because of how you know, how it will make you feel in your career. So I can certainly understand why the majority of the responses are around, you know, the way that the feedback you're going to get from it, how it's going to make you feel, and what you want to achieve in your career. But it's important also to understand, well, okay, there are going to be significant challenges, and particularly back to the point we made earlier on, or that was made earlier on, about, you know, it's difficult if you go from a functional role into a leadership role without any clear, you know, development, or perhaps without the understanding of what's required. So on that basis, I think it is really important to kind of spend some time now, if you are aspiring to a leadership role, you know, take the opportunity now to just think through, well, okay, where am I versus what we've covered so far, and how can I be proactively build a development plan so I understand, you know, what I need to focus on over the next period of weeks or months, so that it puts me in the best possible position to be successful in applications for leadership roles in the future. So I think there are some very practical things that we can share and consider, which I think is probably going to be helpful for the majority of people that, unless they've already started to do this, I'm sure it will help in terms of trying to crystallize what your thinking might look like. So here's a slide which we call the triangle of success. And, you know, I think it's important to try and think about breaking down, you know, the skills, behaviors, and knowledge that you have right now. So what are you naturally intuitively good at from a skills, behaviors, and knowledge point of view? And maybe where are the areas where you might need to put in some effort and focus on developing those in those areas. But for me, you know, what sits at the core of that is your purpose. So I think, you know, unless you've got a really good handle and understanding of that, it's difficult to understand what the skills, knowledge, behaviors that are required might look like. So what do I mean by finding your purpose? Well, it's the why. So why do you want to embark on this leadership role in the future? And why is it important to you? So what's going to get you, if you're fortunate enough to get, you know, hired into a leadership role, what are the things that are going to motivate you on a daily basis to get you out of bed in the morning, to motivate you to prepare, invest that extra half an hour, an hour in your next coaching conversation planning and preparation. So understanding what your purpose is absolutely critical, in my view, for you to be able to be successful in finding a leadership role.
Yeah, we talk a lot about purpose, don't we, Kevin? You know, about, you know, I think unless you're really able to articulate your purpose, okay, you've said here finding your purpose. For me, everything stems from that. We're in our triangle of success, we have it at the center. So how do people find their purpose?
Well, I think, you know, for me, it's about looking in the mirror a little bit or holding the mirror up to yourself. So, you know, that requires you to be really honest with yourself. So I think that for me, the purpose is really clearly identifying what's important to you, both at work and at home, actually. So how are you going to find a way to get that extra 5 or 10% effort out of yourself? Even in situations where maybe you're not 100% motivated, or, you know, you are required as the leader to deliver a program, a reorganization, a change program of some sort, where you don't necessarily fully believe it to be the right road forward. But, you know, your role as the leader is to park that, find a way to communicate it and implement it effectively for the benefit of your team. So I think for me, it's a case of understanding yourself, trying to have as much self-awareness as possible, understanding where your own personal kind of concerns or issues, barriers might be, and finding ways around them. So I think it's very clearly an issue of investing the time, whether that's through, you know, going on courses, whatever it might be, to try and understand yourself the best that you can, and then reminding yourself, you know, or being really honest and thinking about, well, okay, this doesn't naturally intuitively come to me, so I might need to invest some time to focus on that particular area.
I think the most important thing with that, Greg, is stopping and thinking, and the kind of the environment at the moment, no matter where you are, we're encouraged to do. People only see the value in doing. They don't necessarily see the value in stopping and thinking. And I think for every individual, no matter where they sit in an organization, actually taking the time to think about what it is that I do and why I do it kind of opens your mind up to all sorts of things. And then you choose the right things to develop. So you don't just go on a management course because there's a management course available. You think, this is the skill or the behavior that I need to develop. Therefore, I need to choose something that's going to help me develop that, rather than just take on stuff. And I think we run through life without sometimes, you know, kind of taking a breath. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Kev. And I think, just to build on that, I think, you know, why is the why important? I think, you know, this, hopefully this summarizes it. I think it's putting your purpose and once you found that, putting that at the center of everything that you do. So, you know, it's once you've got clarity around that, then the way that you think, the way that you act, the way that you communicate with that sense of purpose and that genuine sense of purpose behind everything, you know, that's what will help you to develop and build your own personal brand. And people talk about your internal personal brand a lot, particularly, you know, when you're looking for leadership roles. And it's these things which will help really shape that. And, you know, and if you've got a real clarity around what lies at the heart of that for you, that will help you make that, you know, those actions, those thoughts, the way that you communicate, that will make those things consistent. And that makes it believable. That's what will build the clarity around your personal brand. And that's the sort of thing that people will talk about when you're being considered for leadership positions in the future. What does this person stand for? You know, how have they behaved? How have they, you know, how do they communicate in meetings? What is at the core of them? And for the big jobs, the bigger jobs, those are the sort of conversations which will make the difference in terms of whether you get hired or whether you don't get hired. So it's about, for me, it's about integrity. It's about authenticity. And maybe kind of being willing, humble enough to take the mask off at work, which maybe many of us might feel more comfortable wearing the majority of the time, so that, you know, you are happy to say, well, this is me, this is what I'm all about, this is what I would bring and offer to a role or to an organization, and being okay with that. So being vulnerable and being humble, I think. And it's actually a really liberating thing to do, in my experience.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Greg. And I just think about, you know, a typical interview in the past might have included the question, what aren't you good at? And there's always the temptation to say, you know, I'm okay at everything. When actually the strength associated with saying, well, this is where I'm trying to develop my skills further, is actually saying, this is the thing that I know is kind of my Achilles heel, but I'm working on getting better at it, because everyone has an Achilles heel. Everyone has something they could develop further.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I've done a fair amount of hiring in the past. And I think, you know, doesn't matter how good a job you feel that you're doing of that. I think people, experienced hiring managers, HR people, see through that.
Absolutely.
So I think being open and honest about that shows that you're willing to be vulnerable. You're willing to understand that, you know, no one's perfect, but, you know, this is what I know I'm great at. These are the areas that I know that I would need to work on and develop and focus on. And that's from a hiring manager HR perspective, that's a very positive thing,
yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think just adding to that, I'm really pleased that you used the word authentic, because I think that's for me, that's personally, that's a word that I hope would really resonate with the way that we behave. Excuse me. But I think that, you know, emotional intelligence and its importance for leaders has never been more important, really, because historically, as you say, you know, that there was almost that you shouldn't show your vulnerabilities, you know, you have to sort of hide all of that away. But I think that if we come from the right place, if our intentions are coming from the right place, and we're willing to say, you know, this is where I might need some support, people really connect with that. People really, really engage with someone who is willing to show a little bit of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a limit as to how much you want to show, but, you know, there is a fine line. But yeah. But I think for someone who's very high green, which you both know I am, when we think about our social styles, that can have challenges with it as a leader, because you're so people focused. But I guess, you know, we at our core, we have our preferences, don't we, in terms of the way we engage.
Definitely.
No, I agree, Helen. And I think, you know, in my experience, that again, the best leaders that I've worked for, you know, that have been willing to be open about themselves and be vulnerable, be human, it kind of de-demonizes them in a way, if that makes sense. So they're people, they have flaws like we all do, and it makes it less intimidating, I think, and it encourages the followers to open up and be more willing to share, you know, what they know to be their areas that require a bit of focus and effort and development. So I think that if the leader sets the benchmark from that point of view of being really open and honest, that has a dramatic effect on how it makes the team members feel and the willingness to be open. And that gets you on a, you know, an upward curve very quickly, I think. Okay, let's move things on, guys. So why is that sense of purpose, understanding your why, so important? So again, you know, in my experience, once you've spent some time, invested some time to really understand that, and it might not necessarily come to you immediately. So I think, you know, try and sort of be aware of that. You know, don't kid yourself. Try and dig deeper until you get to the point where you actually feel, right, I think I'm having a really honest conversation with myself right now. And then share that, share your vision, share your purpose with others, you know, make it clear what it is, what's at the core of you that makes you tick. Once you get to that point, then I think there are significant advantages that you'll see pretty quickly, to be honest. So, you know, I think you'll perform better at work and more consistently, you know, month on month, year on year. And that's really important in leadership positions, because, you know, it will mean that people understand what your brand is, but it will mean that people gravitate towards you as well. You know, those inspirational leaders that we all gravitate towards, that we all remember, you know, that's what they've done really well. They have a really clear message, a really clear focus, really clear purpose. And that's very appealing. That's something that we're all searching for all of the time, I think. But not only that, but I think it also will allow you to feel like you've got a sense of control over your own destiny and your own career development, because you've got, you know, you've got a very clear roadmap in front of you, and your direction of travel is very clear, not just for you, but for those people around you as well. So there's a level of consistency, and it's a bit of a no-brainer, to be honest. So that's why I feel, you know, investing time to understand what your purpose or your why is so central to all of the other components that we're talking about here. Okay, so I'm sure you've heard the term adopting a growth mindset before. It's a phrase that is rife across our industry right now, but what does that mean personally for you? So it certainly is understanding what you need to focus on and develop. But I think unless you have a growth mindset, you're not going to even be, you know, looking for those things. So for me, it's a bit of a step back from that. So it is quite a fundamental thing, really. So, you know, it's about never being satisfied. It is seeing failure and seeing challenges as an opportunity rather than purely a challenge. So it's not, you know, if you're asked or if you're challenged that maybe you haven't got the capability, the skills to deliver a certain task, it's going, well, okay, you know, maybe you're right, maybe I'll need to look at building the appropriate skill set to be able to do that. And that's okay. So it's accepting that, you know, you could be better in certain areas rather than adopting the fixed mindset approach, which might be, well, okay, well, I don't want to get found out here. You know, I'm going to find a way to talk my way out of this situation. Okay. And even if you're incredibly successful and you have been for a number of years, for me, the growth mindset was saying, well, okay, how can I improve? You know, are things changing and evolving? Do I need to keep stepping up? And again, you know, the best leaders definitely approach it from that perspective. So it's never being happy, never being content. It's taking on personal responsibility and personal accountability to set the bar higher all the time. You know, we're always being challenged with stretching goals and delivering, you know, more probably with less resource, in my experience. So certainly over recent years. So if you're going to be able to do that effectively, you're going to need to find ways of being, finding efficiencies, being more effective, you know, doing things better, doing things faster, doing things within a tighter budget. So that's what we mean by the growth mindset. If you haven't got that approach, then in my experience, we'll come unstuck at some point. There's a ceiling to that. So I think, you know, it's a bit of an intangible thing in terms of practical examples, but I think hopefully that kind of description of it makes sense to you. And it's parking your ego a little bit, I guess. And it's being open-minded and willing to take on and learn as your team members learn, and horizon scan and looking for new opportunities to improve and grow.
I also think it's part of, I don't know whether it's part of the environment. Is the environment that you're working in at the moment enabling? Does it culturally? Is that encouraged? Because sometimes it's difficult to have a growth mindset if you're feeling constrained by your working environment.
Yeah. Armando said that it's about being open-minded, which it absolutely is. But picking up on what Helen said, it's almost permission to be open-minded. Mm. And, you know, despite the fact, you know, with the things with the pandemic and stuff, people are busier than they were before. Because everyone thinks that you can fill every minute of every day. So taking time to stop is even harder, I think.
Yeah, and Helen, back to your point, I think my view with that would be don't be limited by your organisation. So even if they're not quite where you need them to be, you know, do things outside of your role. You know, this is about personal development. This is about you as an individual. So, and give feedback to the company. Say, look, this is what I need for my own growth, my own personal development. And then if they deliver that, great. If they don't let that limit you. You know, find another way, find a workaround. This is about our own personal individual development. That's what I mean by taking on that individual responsibility for it. Don't find a reason not to do it. Don't find someone to blame for not being able to do it. Just make it happen. I think that's the individuals that do that. They're the ones that have these exponential kind of career development paths. You know, having that kind of learning development, you know, culture internally, I think that's kind of at the heart of it. All right, so let's kind of get a little bit more specific now and think about a career plan. So what it, and it's important that we all have one, I think. What do I mean by a career plan? So for me, it's like a roadmap, really. So having a really clear goal or goals in mind, and having that mapped out and written down, and you know, a big picture version of that. So over a sensible amount of time, maybe over the next, you know, 10 years, perhaps, where do you want to get to, and working back from that point. But you know, investing the time and effort to really clearly identify what that looks like. And there might be several different iterations of that. You might want to go back to that periodically. Things can change, of course. But once you've got that really clearly mapped out in your own mind and written down in some kind of format, that's your reference point. For everything else that you do. So that's your big picture view of what it is you're trying to achieve in your career, with your purpose and your why at absolutely front and center of that, okay? Which is why that process is so important. And that's the first thing I would encourage you to do. So it gives you real clarity of thought, gives you focus, it gives you control over your own destiny and over your own career development. So why do I need a career plan? So as I said, things can change over time. So and goals will change over time. So I think that's okay. But you know, be willing to kind of put something down that's appropriate for you right now. And again, through life, different parts of your life cycle. I don't know, getting married, having children, you know, whatever it might be. You know, COVID, a global pandemic. You know, we all crave a bit of stability maybe right now. So things will change, things will evolve, and that's okay. But at least, you know, once you've got your plan in place, you can then, it's much easier to then adapt it as things change and evolve. And having that clarity of thought will mean that, you know, you're able to deal with setbacks better and react to them in a more measured way. And it allows you to keep your eye on the prize, okay? And having leading your own career, so having that long-term vision of what your own personal development and what your career aspirations are. So it'll give you, to summarize that, it'll give you in practical terms a really clear view of where you want to get to. You know, the individual components of that plan will map out what the steps are that you need to take to achieve that. And more a kind of a personal, emotional level, it will make you feel much more in control of your own career development. You know, and I think often, you know, that's where the feeling of uncertainty, of lack of control comes from, is if you feel that others have got a more influence on that than perhaps you have. Maybe your line manager, perhaps who you don't get on with too well, you know, you feel like they're the individual that actually has the most impact on your future life, your future career. And that's not a comfortable place to be. So I think taking control of this, taking charge of it, writing it down with some really clear thought behind it is a really great thing to do. It's a real positive thing for the mind and the soul. Okay, so in terms of your long-term goals, I think it's important to have that clarity so you can map out what those individual steps look like, you know, and to think about how you practically go about developing the skills, the knowledge, the attitudes and beliefs that are going to be required. So having that kind of vision of what success will look like, that will make it much clearer for you to understand how you go about getting to a point where you're in a position to start applying for these roles and being taken seriously. So, you know, for example, what sort of projects could you get involved in that will allow you to develop the skills or the knowledge that are going to be required for future leadership roles that you might want to apply for? And things like, you know, can you find a mentor? So is there someone or are there people that you've encountered that, you know, that are doing the role that you aspire to, or that you feel have got the right skills or approaches or attitudes that you can learn from? So is there someone that you can attach yourself to? Is there someone whose coattails you can cling on to that are going to help facilitate, you know, you getting to where you want to get to maybe quicker than you might be able to do it on your own? And also having that roadmap, that career development plan will really help you kind of monitor progress and your success or not. So if you're not feel like you're not progressing, you know, if you've got that plan and you're measuring yourself against it on a regular basis, if you're not making progress, why is that the case? And do you need to course correct? Do you need a different approach? If you are progressing, then ticking those boxes will make you feel fantastic. It will make you feel incredibly positive about the fact that you're making real tangible progress, and that will keep you motivated in its own right. So I think there are many reasons why, you know, investing the time to get this plan together is incredibly positive. And if you don't do it, you might make progress, but it will be far more ad hoc and down to chance. And so again, you know, you'll feel like maybe you're wasting time, you're losing time. So I think, you know, lots of good reasons why having this this planning approach is incredibly important.
I think it's really important, Greg. I'm conscious we've only got 5 minutes left, but just writing the plan isn't enough. So just setting a goal, it should be living and breathing. So it should be something you revisit regularly. To do exactly that. Is this still the right goal? Do I need to change it? Why haven't I achieved anything? So that you're constantly working towards it rather than thinking that writing it down on its own is enough.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. That beautifully brings me on to a final couple of slides. So just to reinforce that point, you know, there's just a bit of data I'd like to share with you. So this is back to a bit of research that was conducted by the Harvard Business School, the MBA program. It's back in 1979, they initiated this study, but they followed through some of their MBA program students. And it clearly demonstrated that, you know, setting goals is incredibly important. So actually, I'll let you have a read through the data there, but, you know, the individuals on that program that had some kind of goal in their head fared much better over time. So 10 years later, these individuals were followed up across the program. At the bottom there, you can see, you know, that the individuals that were better at planning and writing down their goals and having real clarity of what those goals are, reflecting back on them, course correcting and adjusting them, those people that were disciplined enough to do that, they were earning on average 10 times more than those people on the same course that had no goals. So it goes to show, as Kevin mentioned, you know, having the goal is great. So investing the time to understand what it is you're trying to achieve is part of the process. Writing it down is incredibly important. And then going back to that plan and adjusting it on an ongoing basis. So building some time in for you to reflect on what it is you're trying to achieve actually has a very dramatic impact and effect on how your career, the success of your career is likely to pan out. Okay, so it's quite a powerful study there, which clearly demonstrates that, you know, if not for you, if for your future career, for the success you want to reflect back on at the end of your career, this stuff is really important. And finally, just to really try and crystallize this down a little bit more, some of the key competencies that are important from a leadership point of view. So again, you know, for me, at the heart of this is strategic thinking. That's really at the front and center. So it's the ability, we've touched on this already, to horizon scan and create that vision for the future and then communicate that vision clearly and regularly. You know, and if it changes, you need to adapt it and communicate it again. And that there are various components that are going to contribute to doing that well. building in time to reflect, testing your different ideas and hypotheses and being opportunistic and innovative, all of those things. But I think absolutely at the heart of all of this is that strategic mindset. And adopting that growth mindset, which we talked about earlier, will really help you to build that kind of that way of thinking as well.
And maybe this could be the jumping off point for next time, Greg, if we were to start on the competencies in the next of the workshops. That would be great.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Kev. So just to summarize, guys, so, you know, in my view, leadership, it's about creating and delivering that vision. Your purpose, finding that purpose is absolutely at the heart of all of this, and taking responsibility and ownership for your own development is critical too. So
that was perfectly timed, Greg. I just want to say a huge thanks to you, and thanks to everyone for attending. So thanks again, Greg. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, everyone, and have a great rest of day.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Bye.